Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that he will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul, and listen to this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aroo! Welcome, my dear friends. Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod, such as it is. Greetings from the Arcturian Brotherhood and the Sirius Cluster. Believe it or not, they are a big help in these times for all of us. Mostly unnoticed influences are working to counteract the massive efforts of the dark side as they make their final push to blanket the world into a state of constant negative night. This evening, we are in the saucer pod and flying over previous states of residence. We see people trapped in contained loops of resentment over absolutely nothing. Our greatest dangers in this life are not the forces outside of us, but the forces inside of us. Humans have a chronic problem with letting things go, and an even greater problem with attempting to control others. And when they are unable to do this, they are left with contempt for those they gain control over. And when they cannot accomplish this, they feel cheated and betrayed in their efforts to contain another in an environment where they did very little to contain them in the process, making it look like they cared in the first place. For myself, I've always been a polarizing figure. Usually people either like me a great deal or do not like me at all. I don't really have anything to do with making these polarities happen. They just happen. I can sit quietly in a corner of a room and do and say nothing, and affection and or animosity will occur all on their own. And I want to talk a little bit about this tonight. All of us are infused with and express ourselves in vibrations. These vibrations can be seen, should one have the capacity, not simply in the vibrationary aspect, but in colors as well. And as far as vibrations go, they do not always sync up with the way things seem to be in the mind of those who think the way things seem to be is the way things are. But the truth is that things are not the way they seem and never have been. Appearances are the primary deception in manifest life. One has to look deeper, and the only way to accomplish that is to look within yourself, because the entire universe is there to be found. Period. That is just how it is, and one can argue against this all they want, and they will argue against it if it goes contrary to what they think they want, because everyone who wants something compromises their line and direction of sight in order to make that desire legitimate, and none of them are, except for the pursuit of the divine, who can also only be found within, and who once found can finally look with true clarity outward through your eyes. Only when the source of all things looks through your eyes do you see, and then that is the gaze of love, and inherent in that, there is a problem, because the eyes of love infuriate those enamored of material culture. Jesus Christ had to suffer that. The common mind loved him because he was a living aspiration to something higher, and in him they saw the completion and fulfillment of that. They saw that it was possible because when the eyes of love are turned upon you, you know what is unspoken is true because it resonates in the heart of you. But those who run the bad magic show are alarmed because it also exposes all their evil machinations. It is seen, rather let me say it is seen through. It sees through all the tinsel and ugliness of the enforced descent where human liberty is muffled and confined by the distortions created in order to maintain the fabrications which have already endured too long and which are now as vulnerable can be. They can't stand this, and they will destroy it if they can, and often for the purpose of the movie's continuance, they do just that, but not in a time of apocalypse. All their former sense of power is now rendered futile because the One has come again and will not be denied. The Almighty has a way of using the seemingly mad and illiterate among us to achieve His ends. He will pick the most unlikely among us to further His, desired results, and His desired results will be furthered. Period. That is inevitable as much as day will follow night, and that every temporary thing will be absorbed in and dissolved in the eternal. If you have ever studied the writings of the alchemists, the authentic ones, like Basil Valentine or Jacob Boehme, you will find that they talk in a certain code which can only be understood if one has revelation at work within. It is one thing to read some text and come to an intellectual appreciation of the words. It is quite another to apprehend the essence and meaning behind the words, to enter into the mind of the one who wrote those words in the first place. I found this true of the Bible in that regard. There are times when I read it and it was just words and words with a material meaning, and there were times when it sang to me like one of those mythical winged things that are not mythical at all. We live in a world that is not the world as we imagine we live in, because our imaginations are being controlled by those who control the human imagination with all the artificial devices of the artificial world they have created, and which we have acquiesced to live in out of the easy falling down of our own corrupt nature into the material plane. We not only want to be part of it, we are part of it. You might well ask how we came to be here in the first place. Are we not the very sons and daughters of the Almighty God, destined to dance on the mountaintops of the world in the morning of time when the world was young? Ah, yes. But the world is no longer young. It has gotten to a place where we cannot see our own face in the mirror of one another. In the old tale of the Garden of Eden, it is said that the fall of man was brought about by woman because of the descent into the senses of life. But I submit that it is only through women that we can rise again. And that is what this new age brings. Not the new age of the hucksters and carnival clowns of these times in which we find ourselves, but the age itself as it is coming upon us. And it will come so quickly now that we will be left breathless at its appearance. It will seem all of a sudden, but it's been coming for a long time. It's always a surprise when this happens. It shouldn't be, but it is. Either you've been striving and struggling to get out, or you have been struggling and striving to get in, or be more immersed, and when it comes, it will reward you accordingly, if reward is the proper term. It can seem to any of us who have sought to storm the gates of heaven, or conversely to root in the offal of earth, that we cannot maintain in the presence of our state or remain in the enjoyment of it either. It is all temporary from here, but of more lasting residence elsewhere. The one thing that everyone and anyone ought to come to terms with as soon as possible is the temporary nature of one's state here. This speaks to the core of one's values and aspirations. If one's values and aspirations are terrestrially based, one is simply distracting themselves until their ceremonial departure back into the earth. If one's values and aspirations are celestial-based, not much of what happens here has any lasting imprint or meaning except for assisting in facilitating one's departure. My own biggest problem is recognizing what is already obvious to me. You'd think that was no problem at all, wouldn't you? I am literally able to see something and yet remain unaware of it more often than one would think reasonable. At the same time, I am told that I should remember as often as possible to assist in the progress of my soul to see what is available or even already certain for me. At the same time, I am told my inability to see is manufactured by the same force telling me I should strive to see, and I have to tell you that I find it hard to understand sometimes. It is as if someone is holding my head underwater and then telling me, in my mind, that I must press to the surface. It doesn't seem fair because I don't get why this is necessary, given that I have come to and above the surface before. It begins to seem Sisyphean to me. Do you know the story of Sisyphus? He was the king of Ephyra. He was punished for his self-promotion and duplicity and was forced to push a large rock up a hill only to see it roll back down, and he had to do it forever. The Greeks had a lot of stories like that. Witness Prometheus, who was one of the Titans. Zeus wanted to hide the secret of fire from humanity, and Prometheus stole it, and so Zeus asked Hephaestus to create Pandora, who was a parallel to Eve, and who loosed all the troubles of the world upon us. Then Prometheus was chained to a rock where an eagle ate his liver every day, and it got replaced every night. This was supposed to go on for eternity, but Hercules freed him. I wonder if the eagle was alcohol or some other palliative that is not a palliative, or if the eagle had something to do with the piercing sight given to those who can transform the force of the scorpion into the vision of the eagle. It might explain itself in the consideration that when one cannot see clearly, they wind up attacking themselves. The force of sex is self-destructive to the one performing it. Unless they understand the tantric aspect, it is also what grants immortality to the one who can channel it into the realm where such a thing is possible. Irrespective of either, it serves a great purpose. When one comes to a certain age, do not place their attention on the powers and former exercises of their youth. When their youth is fled and their fires are, or should be, banked because said force will consume you in all the wrong ways at the wrong time. Don't be a foolish virgin is what occurs to me, though it's an odd tale since few of us remain virgin, but you know, that has nothing to do with saving the oil in one's lamp. And certainly saving the oil in one's lamp has everything to do with being able to see, and leads right back to that scorpion and eagle transmutation, or, well, the lack of it. Nearly all of what is referred to as myths are not myths at all, but teaching analogies based on real-life circumstances that mortals find themselves in and sometimes wind up repeating life after life. Many of those who sin most egregiously are condemned to the repetition of certain cycles of existence over and over. Others make arrangement for a single lifetime with God's prosecutor, or the devil, in order to have experiences that are, how do I put it, not what they crack up to be, as many have found at the end of their lives when they are given much time to reflect. Like David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger and Shimon Peres and George Soros. Well, they're now being given that. Do you wonder at the fact that Rockefeller is now 100 years old, or that Perez is also, or that these others are moving in the same direction? Do you wonder how they accomplish that? Of course, there's a great deal more to medical science than most of us can see or afford. This is not a blessing. It is a curse. We think that we know what's going on, but we don't. I know what's going on, and I don't. It's a conundrum. But at least I learned that I don't know. And I was convinced of that by the one who knows it all. I met him on a beach in Big Sur, California, when I was 21. I'm either very lucky or very unfortunate. It depends on how you look at it. I really want to find the Almighty, so I'm good with the result. And I don't mind the cost, so I am good with that too. If you're not good with the cost, then it always costs too much. Okay, my friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, I hope these few minutes were useful to you. Okay, and once again, that said, greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Il ilaha il alahu. Om Amitabha, Hare Krishna. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Much love, Lady Nature. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru.
Strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. No one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. A call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.